Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 14. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. This is the word of the Lord.
Hello, everyone. My name is Rena, and I am a member here at Church Without Walls and part of our elder team. And thank you. A little higher, there we go. Thanks. And actually, next month, I'm going to be stepping into a role of being an associate pastor here at our church for the next year. And I'm really excited about that. I'm really deeply joyful and excited about that, and also really excited to be with you tonight and get to share out of this passage, Jeremiah 29. So I want to start out tonight by sharing something a little embarrassing about myself. Always a great way to kick it off, don't you think? And it's this. I'm someone who loves to read. I really like to read. I read a lot. It's kind of, I'd say, one of my main hobbies. And I have, through the years, found this thing to be true about me when I read. So here it is. When I read a book, I skip ahead and read the end first. Now, I have caught a lot of flack for this through the years, and I will probably catch even more after this. So, but are there any other end readers here? Anybody else who does that? I see a couple. Okay.
Judy Blevins.
Okay. I'm glad to be in good company. My mom is one of them, I know, and I personally consider this to be kind of a genetic trait, so I blame you, Mom. No, I read the end of the story first, and it's actually not, like, I don't just pick up a book and read the end, because that doesn't really mean anything. Like, I don't know the characters or anything at that point. It's actually, this is kind of the way it works for me. I will start a book, and I'll be reading along. I get about a third in, and that's where I start to actually care, right? I'm starting to get into the story. I care about these characters. I care about what's happening. And it's at that point that I will flip ahead and I will skim the last page, okay? So I'm not talking like I don't read the whole last chapter or anything like that. It's just the last page. And it gives me this sense, a general sense of where the story is going, okay? Just kind of this general, here's where it's going. Like, for example, I can tell on the last page, is this main character that I'm getting really attached to, are they still alive at the end? Okay? A critical piece of knowledge, you know? Are they still around? Or, like, is this conflict that I'm getting into, is it going to resolve in some way that's generally good? You know, or are these relationships I'm starting to care about between people, are they still intact at the end? It just gives me this general sense of, like, here's the direction we're going. And I find that when I have a sense about the end of the story, I actually am able to enjoy the book more as I read along. I'm more engaged, I'm more present, I'm not rushing and panicked at the end. So that's why I do it. Maybe a little self-justification there, but I wanted to open with that tonight because in some ways, that's what we're actually going to be doing together tonight. We're going to read the end of the story of God's people in exile that we've been hearing about in Jeremiah. We've been reading Jeremiah 29 in this series called Seek the Welfare of the City. And we have seen through the verses we've read that God's people were carried into exile and what that's meant for them. And now, tonight, we're going to see the end of the story, where that's taking them. And I think the end of the story tells us a lot about God's heart. Let's go ahead and I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll move ahead. God, we thank you for your presence with us tonight. God, we thank you that with you we know the end of the story is very good. And we worship you together. Just invite you to open our hearts. God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So as I mentioned, we've been in this series called Seek the Welfare of the City. And we've read through Jeremiah 29, verses 1, and tonight we're ending in verse 14. So our first week, we read the first few verses, and it kind of framed for us what's happening. Jeremiah is a prophet to God's people, the Israelites, in the southern kingdom of Judah. And he has watched and been present, prophesying for many years, as now a portion of God's people have been taken away into exile in Babylon. And that first night, we talked about exile and how painful that is, all that entailed for God's people. And within that, we heard that God acknowledged this exile isn't something that just sort of happened by accident or that I wasn't aware of. That I allowed this to happen. This exile happened in an intentional way from God with his people. And then the second evening, we read verses 5-7. And in that, we heard about God's instructions to his people in exile, which Jeremiah is sending in a letter. And these instructions are build houses, plant gardens, put down roots in the place that you are. You know, get married, have children. I want you to flourish in the exile in Babylon where you have been relocated. Then in the third week, we heard God warning his people against false prophets who were speaking words to them in this time that were not from God. Things like, it's going to be kind of quick and easy. This exile will end and you'll get back in a couple years. And God's word to the people through Jeremiah are actually, no, this will be 70 years. And that's more than a generation for most of the people hearing the word. So again, a hard word to hear. Then this week, we will be looking again at the end of the story, what comes next. Let's go ahead and take a look back at this passage. I'm just going to read it out loud again. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all of your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. So as we're reading this, we are reading the grand finale. This is the end of this section of the story for God's people. This is the final picture. God saying, this is where all of this will end up. This is where it's going. Let's just dig into this for a minute. I want to ask you to take just a look at this slide here and to actually call out the verbs that you see here, the action words. What does God say that God will do? And what does God say that God's people will do? Just go ahead out loud, just kind of yell them out. What verbs, action words do you see up there?
Call.
Search.
There are a lot, huh? There's a lot of talk here about what God's going to do and what his people are going to do. And I think as we dig into those verbs, as we look at that, we notice that there's definitely sort of a direction that's happening here. So hopefully you can see these colors. In blue here, we have the things that God's people will do. He says, you will call upon me. You will come, pray to me. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all of your heart. So all of these verbs that God's people will be doing, they're really all about sort of stepping in toward God, right? This is all about God's people coming close. They're coming, they're praying, they're seeking, they're finding. right? So God's people stepping in towards God. Then in the orange here, we see the things that God will do. I will hear you. I will let you find me. Restore your fortunes. Gather you. Bring you back. So likewise, we have God stepping in, right? We are seeing here a very vivid picture of connection. God's people stepping towards God and God stepping towards his people, gathering them back. Connection. This is intimacy, relationship, right? And remember, this is like the grand finale. This is God saying, this is my picture. This is where this is going. This is what I want. So I think we learn a lot here about God's heart. If this is the end of the story for God, God's desire with his people, we really learn about how God feels about them. This isn't a God who's kind of neutral. If it works out, you know. This is not a God who's like a watchmaker. You know, that used to be one of the theories about God. God kind of made the universe, wound it up, and then just set it out there to kind of watch it work, detached. That is not what we see here. We see here a picture of God's heart, and what it's really about is that God passionately loves these people. God wants to connect with them more than anything. This is the end of the story in God's book, the highlight. So the end of the story is that God passionately loves his people and desires to connect with them. Now you might ask, aren't we in the middle of the exile? And how does the idea of a God who passionately loves people that much and the exile fit together? But I actually think, you know, in the same way that in a book you read, the end of the story is revealed in little ways along the way, there's kind of an undercurrent that carries you along, that's also true with this end picture that God paints. It's actually the undercurrent that's carried us all the way along. So when we heard about God's word to the people in the exile, build your homes, plant your gardens, God is saying, flourish. My heart for you in this painful and difficult time is that you would flourish, that you would increase and not decrease. I love you. Even in the middle of this very painful place, it's kind of come out of broken relationship between God and the people over many years. God's like, I want good things for you. And then, you know, he says in that verse immediately following that, he talks about, I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for your welfare, not to harm you, to give you a future with hope. So this is the undercurrent that's carrying them all through the exile. And then we see at the end this grand finale picture that love is going to result in this deep connection. That's God's picture, his heart for where this whole thing is going. I think we can also look at the verses we read tonight and learn some things about, no, this is God's heart, where things are going, and also how that actually plays out. How does that work in the people's lives? What does that actually look like? One dynamic I think we can learn from the passage tonight is that God's love is always drawing his people closer. I think sometimes we think of love as almost like a kind of this passive feeling. You know, I feel love. You know, I love you, you love me, like a Barney moment, sorry, that just came out, but like, you know, like this kind of, a passive thing. But I think the picture that we see of God's love here is that it is actually, there's kind of a directionality to it. It's moving, and that movement is always closer. Kind of like, almost like a current of a river. It's always drawing you somewhere. There's always more with God's love. It's not just we reconciled and now we're done. There's always deeper. God's love is always drawing us closer. Another thing I think we see in this passage is that God's love restores shalom. That's a word we've been talking about over the last weeks. Shalom being the Hebrew word for kind of well-being, health, peace, right relationships. That shalom is something that God's love restores in every area of life. I think it's very interesting to note that, again, at this place in the story, God is reconciling with his people, drawing them close, really building that relationship, that drawing them in. And yet that doesn't just play out on this kind of spiritual, emotional level only. That's very true, that God wants their whole hearts, and that God is pouring his heart out for them and to them to gather them in. But it also plays out in their lives in this very like physical, tangible, practical way, right? Like in this process, they moved into exile and they will move back at the end. It actually has implications for where they lived and for how they lived in those places. God's word about how to live through the exile, that this process of growing in intimacy and connection with God, it really played out in their lives in very physical ways and very corporate ways, not just individuals, but the community as well. I think sometimes in our culture, we think of experience with God as this kind of you, me, God, emotional drawing closeness. And that's real. I'm not saying that isn't real, but that's not all that it is. It really has implications for our life in very tangible ways, including, as we saw in this story, where we live and how we live there. I think that's part of what's revealed to us here. The amazing thing about this sort of framework, this end of the story and the undercurrent that has carried this whole story along, is that this, God's passionate love for his people, his desire to connect with them, his drawing them closer, and working his shalom in their lives, in their community, this is not just the end of the story in this one setting for Israel in the exile. This is actually the end of the story and the undercurrent that carries it all the way along in God's big story with humanity. This is where it is going. This is where it is going. And I think when we know that, we actually are able to live differently. I want to take a minute now to think of our stories. The story of our lives, of your life, the story of our life as a community here, the story of our life in this city, this nation, this world. And I believe that those stories, our stories, they are unfolding in the same framework. This is where they are going. And this is what carries us along the whole way. I think about this first point that God loves us passionately and deeply desires to connect with us. That may be the same. This may be the first time that you've heard that for yourself. God loves you that way. Or maybe you've heard that your whole life. I do think God loves you is one of those things that can become a platitude. Like I think, you know, people say that on the street sometimes. God loves you. Well, maybe not in Berkeley, actually, but in other places, yeah. You know, I think it can get thrown around, but I actually think if we know this, that God loves you passionately and desires to connect with you, I think it is absolutely revolutionary for the way that we live. I know I am a person who struggled for many years with perfectionism and just having a really highly critical inner voice, kind of a judge that lived in me and was just very critical of what I would do and not do for many years. And for many years, I actually thought that that was God's voice. I thought that that's kind of how God felt about me, that maybe God loves me, but there was always a but. I'm frustrated with you, Rena, that you didn't figure out XYZ. You know, or I'm disappointed that you didn't ABC. There was always this fear in me that that harsh voice was actually God's. And it took many years, and God's, I'd say, still in this process with me in some deep ways, for God to pull those roots out and to really teach me that voice is not God's voice. This is God's voice over you and over me. I remember being in church one day in a kind of a music worship time, and hearing God say to me, not in an audible way, but like in the, you know, just words that get suddenly sort of appear deeply in your heart, hearing God say to me, I will love you forever. And that was exactly what I needed to hear. Because there's no ifs or buts in that. It's not if you can, I will love you if you can get yourself fixed up for me. It's not if you can kick that habit. There are no ifs with God's love. This is the end of our story, period. God's passionate love over you. This idea that God is drawing us closer, God always has more for us, more healing, more freedom from sin and the things that tangle and bind you, more life in the dead places. God always has more. And, you know, in this passage, we see God's people being called to step, to seek, to be open to that more. And I do believe we have that chance to say yes to God's more that he has for us. But I have to say, even that, our ability to take that step towards God, to open towards him, that's something God does in us too. It really is our yes, the yes that God is equipping you to say today. I just encourage you to say it, be it big, be it small, that yes to God drawing you closer. And then this final point, God's love restores shalom. That is something that our community has been looking at through this series about seeking the welfare of the city. And I want to share briefly about a way that our community is going to step into that in the year to come here in Berkeley. We have chosen a focus issue here in our city, a justice issue that we want to engage together as a church as a way to live out God's love, restoring love for our city. And that issue is what is called the achievement gap or the equity gap in our Berkeley public schools. What that means, achievement or equity gap, is that right now in Berkeley schools, you know, kids, let's say, start kindergarten together. And then as the years progress, there's more and more notable achievement gap in terms of like academic outcomes between white and Asian students and our Black and Latino students. And that shows up on test scores, in graduation rates, in a lot of different ways. And that gap is true for families who have lower socioeconomic resources. That gap is also true for children of Cal grads. So it's really a racial justice issue, and it's very live in our community. And we as a church care a lot about education in a lot of ways, and have felt like this is a good way for us to step in and want to connect, serve our city. So we'll be leaning into that in the next year, but I want to invite you to consider participating in one way that's coming up soon. This is a map of Berkeley, and we are going to want to engage seeking the welfare of our city by doing some prayer walking in our city over the next 10 months. The way we'll do that is we're going to divide Berkeley into five different sort of sections, and once every 2 months, we're going to just meet and walk through a section of Berkeley. We will walk to the schools and pray for them. We will pray for the neighborhoods we're walking through, the businesses, the people there, and seek the welfare for our city and our schools. So the first one is coming in September, and I just encourage you to, you know, to step in and participate. In closing, I want to say that knowing the end of the story helps us live differently. It just helps us live differently. That does not mean there is not suffering, because there is suffering. Suffering is real. Some of us are suffering in this room. There is suffering in our city. There was suffering for Israel in the exile. But we know that suffering it's not the end of the story. And when we know that, we are able to have hope in suffering in a different way. We are able to take risks and to step out and do things not knowing how they're going to come out, because we do know how it ultimately comes out. And that we are able to love other people in a different way when we really experience God's love for us as the undercurrent of our own story. So let me pray for us. God, we thank you for the powerful, world-changing, life-changing reality of the fact that you love us, and that that really does change everything. And I ask now, God, that you would help us to step into that more deeply, that you would help us to hold that, to know that, that you would deepen those seeds in us, and free and heal and draw us to yourself, God. Just thank you for Jeremiah 29, and I pray that you would seal it as your word in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to encourage you to take out your connection cards. And on the back, there's a couple next steps. The first one is, I want to know God's passionate love for me in a deeper way. And if that is true for you, whether it's a new concept or you've known God loves you for a long time, if you want to go deeper in that, I just encourage you to consider coming up to prayer ministry tonight and praying about that with someone else. If you want to say yes to God in a new way tonight, I also encourage you to come on up and to pray about that. And then our last one is, if you're interested in coming in our first prayer walk, we will be meeting September 21st here at Realm and starting here. And we'll get more details out to you. So if you're interested, go ahead and check.